Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, sorry. Chapter 33, text number 37. Yes, okay, good. Okay. Nasuyan Kalu Krishnaya Mohitas Tasya Mayaya Manyamanam Swapaswa stan swan daran rajokasaha nasyon kalu krishnaya mohitastasya mayaya Manyamana swapaswa stan swan swan daran rajo kasaha nasuyan kalu krishnaya mohitastasya mayaya manyamana swapaswa stan Swan swan daran vajo kasaha Nasuyan kalu krishnaya Mohitas tasya mayaya Manyamana swapasya stan Swan swan daran vajo kasaha Nasuyan kalu krishnaya Vaishnavis. Nasuyan kalu krishna Mohitas tasya mayaya Nasuyan kalu krishnaya Mohitas tasya mayaya Manyamanan swapaswa Na asuyan, we're not jealous. Kalo, even. Krishnaya, against Krishna. Mohitaha, bewildered. Tasya, his. Mayaya, by the spiritual potency of illusion. Manyamanaha, thinking. Swapaswaha, at their own sides. Stan, standing. Swan, swan, each their own. Dharan, wives. Raja or Kasaha, the cowherd men of Raja. Translation. The cowherd men, bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency, thought their wives had remained home at their sides. Thus they did not harbor any jealous feelings against him. Purple. Because the gopis loved Krishna exclusively, Yogamaya protected their relationship with the Lord at all times, even though they were married. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes from the Ujjwala Nilamani as follows. Maya kalpita tadrakshtri salanena nusu yubihi najatu raja devinam patibi sahasangamaha. The gopis' jealous husbands consorted not with their wives, but with doubles manufactured by Maya. Thus these men never actually had any intimate contact with the divine ladies of Raja. The gopis are the internal energy of the Lord and can never belong to any other living being. Krishna arranged their apparent marriage to other men simply to create the excitement of Parakya Ras, the love between a married woman and her paramour. These activities are absolutely pure because they are the Lord's pastimes, and saintly persons since time immemorial have relished these supreme spiritual events. Magyana tamarandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshum militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Sri Chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichina Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patita nam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadadara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so please repeat after me. The cowherd men, bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency, thought their wives had remained home at their sides. Thus they did not harbor any jealous feelings against him. Okay, so this chapter 33 of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's called the Rasa Dance. And here, in this verse is being explained. The cow had men are in somewhat an illusion. Well, the cow had men are being bewildered by, of course, Krishna's own potency, and they're thinking that their wives are at home when, in fact, their wives are with Krishna. And interestingly, this statement is there. Thus, they did not harbor any jealous feelings against him, meaning against Krishna. So, this term, jealous feelings, envy, is a characteristic of the original pollution within the consciousness. Okay, we understand that we are actually away from Krishna to the degree that we are envious of him. Envy is itself a type of blindness. Okay, envy is itself a type of misperception. Right? Envy means that I have not understood. I failed to understand that everything belongs to Krishna, and I failed to understand that it is actually in my own self-interest to serve and to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Envy is a manifestation of my thinking that I can be happier away from Krishna than I can by being with Krishna. So, of course, envy in this material world manifests in one way, but there is also the, let's say, the spiritual counterpart, when the pure associates of the Lord are experiencing different emotions, but they're on the pure platform, they're relishing those different emotions as a means of giving him pleasure. So this whole pastime of the rasa dance brings up many questions. Fundamentally, many religionists would ask, what is God doing with so-called other people's wives? Right? But we understand the etymology or the understanding of God is, God is that person who owns everything, right? Who has been the cause of everything, the sava karana karanam. But it's more than that. Actually, Krishna is that person for whom whenever you give, you always gain. You understand? Krishna is that person by which when you give, when you serve, you actually always gain more. Jai Shri Shri Radha Landanishwara Ki Jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitya Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. It is such an essential principle to understand that actually engaging in love and devotional service to Krishna is in your own self-interest. Right? It's in your own self-interest. Nowadays, when people speak about any kind of God-conscious or religious pursuit, the idea is that implicitly or explicitly, you have to do it or God will be angry with you. But that's not the emphasis that's given by our acharyas. Our acharyas are pointing out what? That the living entity is eternally a loving servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A loving servant. Jivaras Rupoy Krishnera Nitya Das. Nitya. Eternal Das. Servant. This is our constitutional position. And therefore, engaging in Krishna consciousness means to accept one's inherent nature and to act according to one's inherent nature. And if one does that, only if one does that can one actually be happy. Right? It's not so much a question of force, it's not a question of guilt, it is a question of nature. The inherent nature of the living entity is to serve Krishna where he's parts and parcels. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mana shishtani indriyani prakritishtani kashati. Even though we're part and parcel of Krishna, the the desire to try to enjoy separately from Krishna, that generates a certain experience, kashati, struggle. We struggle because we don't understand or accept our inherent nature. Right? Now we can take this principle a step further. Sometimes I was recently thinking about the way that we preach Krishna consciousness. Right? Often it is preached, for example, Prabhupada wanted cooperation, right? And you may say, you know, you should cooperate. It's good, right? It's the right thing to do. Right? And these are true. Prabhupada did want that. It is the right thing to do. But you can take it even further. You see, the fact is, we are interrelated. Right? We are intimately connected with one another. Therefore, if I don't help other living entities to become Krishna conscious, I don't become Krishna conscious. If I don't assist other living entities in going back to Godhead, I don't go back to Godhead. Right? So cooperation is, again, it is simply an understanding of the nature of reality, that we're interconnected. If you don't help others to go back, you won't go back. You will not go back. Right? If you don't, even our success, even let's say you're into some, you know, devotional project, unless there's cooperation, you don't achieve anything. And even in terms of our spiritual advancement, we are not the main cause of our spiritual advancement. Right? How do we advance? Our endeavor is ultimately to please the pure devotees, to please those self-realized souls. When they are pleased, they choose to divest themselves of their own hard-earned spiritual credits, and by that mercy we make advancement. So you don't even advance independently. Independence itself is actually a myth. It doesn't exist. Right? It doesn't exist on the material platform. It doesn't exist on the spiritual platform. It doesn't exist. We are intimately bound up with one another. So everything we do in pursuance of the best interests of all the devotees, of all the living entities, that is the supreme guarantee of advancement. And anything done in a myopic, independent mentality is the supreme cause of our stagnation or our fall down, right? Materially or spiritually. So here, the cowherd men are remaining at home, and they, as it says here, they don't harbor any jealous feelings against Krishna. We have to understand one thing about Krishna consciousness. If we're to progress at some point, in some way, shape, or form, and to different degrees, we will come face to face with our jealousy of Krishna, our envy of Krishna. And we come face to face with that envy of Krishna, the original polluted nature of the consciousness, every day whenever we see someone or some situation that we envy. Our envy of others is the indication of our envy towards Krishna. Right? These living entities in this world display only some limited degree, very limited degree of Krishna's qualities. Right? So if you envy the sample, how will you deal with the whole? Understand the point? Right? You envy someone in this world who's manifesting some tiny, tiny trace of Krishna's qualities. How would you deal with Krishna in the spiritual world? You don't think you'd be envious? Right? Think about it. So Krishna consciousness is about confronting that nature. But we also have the means by which we can transcend that problem. How does one overcome envy? Envy is overcome by glorification and service. Right? So precisely that, or whomever we envy, if we serve that person, if we glorify that person, it will uproot that particular envy, as it's directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. We should understand that. And as we work on that, as we free ourselves from that, then we are removing the bewilderment from our consciousness. And what happens when the ignorance or the bewilderment is removed from the consciousness, then you see Krishna face to face. Then we see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see the spiritual world. We see the spiritual reality. We come in contact with that. Because we've removed the thing that brought us into this material world, which is the desire to play God. It's very, very important. I was making a few notes on this theme because it's a very deep theme. Very, very deep theme. You see, a mundane religionist, when they look at this, they may consider, well, you know, these are someone else's wives. But actually, if Krishna is the source of everything, then whose wife is it? Right? If he is the source of everything, then the so-called cowherd, you know, the so-called wives of the cowherd men, who do those women belong to? Who do they actually belong to? They belong to Krishna. So anyone who claims proprietorship over anything in this world is simply claiming something that belongs to God. But the illness, the envy is so close, is so deeply entrenched that these things are not even understood, even by religious people. I guarantee you, there are some religious people, if they hear about this kind of pastime, that the Lord has eternal consorts, right? Then they'll feel this immoral. Why? In which every single theology says that God is the creator. So how can he, claiming ownership of his own creation, be immoral? It doesn't actually make sense. But so many people will have that consideration. Now, I also wanted to discuss another thing. See, here in the purport, it is written, Krishna arranged their apparent marriage to other men, you're speaking about the gopis, simply to create the excitement of parakriya ras, the love between a married woman and her paramour. These activities are absolutely pure because they are the Lord's pastimes, and saintly persons since time immemorial have relished these supreme spiritual events. So, speaking of saintly people, one of our acharyas in our line, Jiva Goswami, he published a literature called the Gopal Champu. Now, after publishing this, a controversy came up in the Vaishnava community, because Jiva Goswami states that Krishna's relationship with the gopis concludes in marriage, and this is their eternal state in Goloka. Right? So he implied that parakriya ras, unwedded love, was actually a means to what's called swakriya ras, which is wedded love. Okay, so a question came up because up until the time of Lord Chaitanya, well, including the time of Lord Chaitanya, it was understood by all the Vaishnava community that the highest between the two things, between wedded love and unwedded love, is considered that the unwedded love, in terms of the unwedded love between Krishna and his associates, that is the highest. Of course, we have to make a disclaimer here. We understand that the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So that which is highest there is the most degraded here. Right? So when we're talking about these points, we mean purely in relation to Krishna and his associates on the pure spiritual platform. It has absolutely nothing to do with the relationships in this material world, nothing whatsoever. But just as a discussion on our Siddhanta, we can go into these points. So I wanted to read the quote from, this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 4, text number 45 and 46. In there, it is explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desire manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Therefore, I call it Madhurya Ras. It has two further divisions, namely wedded and unwedded love. That's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in the purport, in that same chapter, Adi Leela chapter 4, verse number 50, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Expert analysts have decided that the transcendental ecstasy of the Parakeya mellow is better because it is more enthusiastic. The risks involved in such love of Godhead make this emotion superior. Swakya and Parakeya conjugal love of Godhead have no existence in the material world. Just to reiterate that particular point. So Prabhupada in purport, Chaitanya Charitamrita, adding the chapter 4, text number 50, is saying that the unwedded love is better because it's more enthusiastic and because of the risks involved. Therefore, that type of love of Godhead make that emotion superior. Okay. So to kind of elaborate on this understanding, so there, you can understand what has preoccupied a particular civilization by the words, by the language of that civilization. For example, in the Eskimo culture, they have over 100 words for snow. Right? So in that environment, in that atmosphere, they will delineate different aspects of snow. In the Vedic culture, there's such a fine or refined understanding even on this concept of love of God, right? And within that, the different levels, the different types of different relationships. So we know, for example, there are different types of rasas, right? 5 transcendental mellows. We know that there is conjugal mood towards the Lord, conjugal ras, there is parental, there is friendship, there is servitorship, there is neutrality, right? But then we know that even within those, there are more refined understandings, there's delineations, right? So it's a very, very refined, sophisticated spiritual understanding, because those practitioners of Vedic culture and the entire culture was ultimately meant for the purpose of reviving one's dormant love for Krishna. This was the understanding, the goal, prima pumata mahan, right? The goal was to achieve love of Godhead. So there is such refined understanding in this particular respect. So to elaborate on this refined understanding, there are different terminologies used. For example, the intense love that a wife has for her husband is called samanjasa love. Okay? Now, that type of love occasionally displays a desire for personal enjoyment. Okay? That's called samanjasa. Then, the love of a paramour is called samatha. Right? That type of love is called samatha. Now, the gopis who are in the wedded mood, which you call the swakya gopis, that desire, when we say personal enjoyment, don't consider it to be like the desire for personal enjoyment in the material world, right? It's actually still of a purely transcendental nature, but within that transcendental platform, there's differentiation, right? They are analyzed differently on that pure platform, okay? So this is, when we say personal enjoyment, we're still speaking about completely pure living entities, pure devotees. So it is explained in Shastra that the Swakya gopis, that desire for personal enjoyment they have, checks their prema, right? So we know that there is love of Godhead, but within that category, there are different stages. So the Swakya gopis, their desire for personal enjoyment checks their prema at the platform of what's called anurag. Okay? So that's what happens for those personalities. But the Parakya gopis, they have no desire for personal enjoyment. Therefore, their love can go all the way up to the platform of Mahabhava, which is the most exalted platform within the category of prema. Okay? So for that reason, the unmarried or unwedded love is considered to be the fullest and the final expression of love of Godhead. Right? So as is explained, even within the Madhura category, there are delineations, there are different stages. And of the two, Parakya and Swakya, right? Parakya meaning unwedded, Swakya meaning wedded love. The Parakya Ras is considered higher for these reasons. Now, the question then carries on that why is it therefore that Jiva Goswami, he emphasized Swakya Ras, right? So what is going on there? This is one of the controversies that arised in the Gaudiya Vaishnava community after the publishing of Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the answer to this question. He says that Jiva Goswami was convinced of the superiority of the parakeet ras, of the unwedded love. And he himself was a follower of that particular mood, right, of worship. So at the same time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there were some mundane moralists at the time and some of Jiva Goswami's own followers who could not understand that this unwedded love was superior to wedded love. And Jiva Goswami considered that it would be an obstacle to their spiritual development. For that reason, he emphasized wedded love over unwedded love. Like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, and this is a quote, Srila Jiva Goswami had two types of disciple. One was situated in pure parakeet ras, and the other in parakeet ras mixed with swakeet ras. According to the different inclinations of his disciples, he gave different appropriate instructions. So we see that even within our Gaudiya Vaishnava community, there is a very clear understanding of emphasis. And this is really important in how we deal with everything within the teachings of Shastra. Right? So Shastra sometimes says things which may even seem contradictory. Right? So how do we understand Shastra? Acharyavan Purusho Veda. Right? The Shastra is ultimately understood through the Acharya. So everything that we know, even what is given in Shastra, is understood through the present-day Acharya, which is Srila Prabhupada. And by his emphasis, you see the point? Not just by what the Shastra says, but by that which is emphasized from the Shastra. That determines what our focus is in our spiritual life, in our preaching, in Krishna consciousness. So one who knows the Acharya, they actually understand everything. One who knows the Acharya actually has the proper understanding of everything. So it is a very interesting type of understanding that we have here. Here in the purple it says, Krishna arranged their apparent marriage to other men simply to create the excitement of parakeet ras. Simply to create the excitement. There's more risk, there's greater enthusiasm, it facilitates different types of pastimes. And these things are being arranged, as is explained also, by Yogamaya. What is it says in this verse? Yeah, the Krishna's illusory potency. Yeah? Mayaya, by the spiritual potency of illusion. So this is also a very deep understanding of religion and spirituality. That actually, if God is simply all-knowing, he's limited. Right? The omniscience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually a limitation. Right? It is a restriction from the point of view of Leela. Right? From a point of view of awareness and understanding and knowledge, it's not a restriction. Omniscient means he knows everything. From that point of view, there's no limit. But from the point of view of tasting Leela, right? Of the point of view of tasting rasa, it becomes an obstacle. Because then there are certain distinct emotions, experiences, and pastimes that simply cannot be relished. If you know everything, you know everything that's going to happen, then how can you experience surprise? How can you experience newness, freshness, shock? Right? How can you have, you come across a puzzle or something to be resolved? These things will be unavailable because you know everything immediately. So there is this resolution, this freshness. Krishna has some exchange with Srimati Radharani. She's upset with him, and then he has to think, how will I help her? How will I get her to be free of her anger towards me so she'll see me again? Right? So from the point of view of Leela, there must be something to facilitate these additional feelings and exchanges, loving dealings. Therefore, Krishna employs his Yogamaya potency. So again, just look at this theology. Just look at this theology, how perfect it is. Right? There's facility so that the Lord himself has new experiences every single day. To experience unlimited pastimes between himself, not only for himself, but also it provides that freshness for also for his devotees. Also for his devotees. We see that even when the pure devotees come to this material world, they can also experience something like this. There's a pastime mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Prabhupada Lilamrita. So there was some deal to gain some property, right? And the devotees were cheated out of that particular property. And Prabhupada states, he says, Krishna must have covered me, because normally I would have been able to see through such people and know that they were cheats. Right? So it's a very interesting thing. Right? That even the seeming pastime, even the seemingly human-like pastimes and, you know, movements of the pure devotee in this world, they are also being facilitated by the internal potency, by the same internal potency. Right? So what is Bhagavad Gita? When Arjuna is bewildered, he doesn't want to fight. What's covering him? That same yoga maya, that same internal potency. One of the reasons for this is that if the pure devotees come and they immediately act according to their particular platform, people would just say, well, it's okay for them, they're pure devotees, but I can't relate to that. Right? Have you ever had that experience when you read about great devotees and you read about the struggles that they went through? And it makes it easier to think that there's hope for me because I'm struggling. Have you ever had that experience? Right? Think about it. It's just how, again, how perfect and complete the teaching is. How perfect and complete. So that when we go through some challenge and difficulty and we think, oh, it's very difficult, this Krishna consciousness. But then you read about Srila Prabhupada. Heart attacks en route to fulfill the mission of his spiritual master. Right? He comes to America, his things are stolen, right? So many different challenges, right? But still, he perseveres and he's ultimately successful. Therefore, if you want to gain the determination to persevere in your Krishna consciousness, just reflect upon the pastimes of the present-day Acharya. Just reflect upon the pastimes of the present-day Acharya, and it will provide you unlimited inspiration and determination to succeed in your Krishna consciousness. Inspiration itself is a type of strength. Right? Inspiration is itself a type of strength. It is the enthusiasm to persevere through various challenges. This mood of not giving up. Very nice verse, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1335. It is explained, I do not have love of Godhead, nor do I have love for the process of hearing and chanting that gives love of Godhead. He said, ultimately, but because, dear Lord, you give your mercy to the most fallen, I have this unbreakable hope that is always in my heart. This hope is always giving me pain. It is written like that. This hope is always giving me pain. So we want to take advantage of this theology in a very deep way. Right? We've just hit this new year. Consider your Krishna consciousness carefully. I would encourage every devotee to do some serious self-inventory. How has your Krishna consciousness been so far? And where does it need to go in the future? Right? We want to really consider that. Right? Or will 2013 just be like any other year in your Krishna consciousness? Right? Honestly, consider that. What do I need to work on to come closer to fulfilling the desires of our Param Guru, Srila Prabhupada, our respective spiritual masters, of the Vaishnava Acharya line? How will I do that? How will I experience more of the mercy that has been unlimitedly given and that is eternally and unlimitedly available through the kind teachings, through the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada? How will I access more of that mercy? What will I need to do? And we encourage you above all, don't be selfish. You should know this. And we unfortunately, we live in a society which is intrinsically selfish, right? It's in this Kali Yuga, people are encouraged. It's like the sadhana to be selfish, right? People are encouraged, just think about yourself. And it's so deeply ingrained, consciously and unconsciously in people's minds, that people don't even consider that other people have feelings, emotions, and that other people see things in a different way. You see that all the time, right? I was reflecting recently. To be honest, in Krishna consciousness, what happens sometimes is whatever people are into, they try and make out that that's everything, right? So you're managerial, therefore it's all about what you achieve, right? Isn't it? You're managerial, so if you get some big project, that's really then you've done something. Then you're a great devotee, right? But what if you're not managerial, right? Well, if you're not managerial, do you think Krishna loves that person any less? Do you think so? No. It is just that they will serve in a different way according to their nature. If you want to see this Krishna consciousness movement spread, remember that only half the equation is preaching, right? Because you go to bring people to Krishna, but what are you bringing them to? Think about it. What are you bringing them to? It requires a culture where they come in and they feel that they are loved, they are cared for, and they can grow. Right? Otherwise, you bring people and no one stays. Which is very intelligent, isn't it? Right? You bring people, but there's nothing to bring them to. They can't take shelter. So we need to always remember that. Right? And also, within that culture means what? It means a mood of appreciation, respect, and growth. If you want to be strong, you need to be interconnected, right? The idea is not that you have a few heroes, independent heroes. The idea is that if they don't go back, you don't go back. If the devotees do not go back to Godhead, you don't go back to Godhead, right? So our success is intimately related to the success of other people. Therefore, don't be selfish. Right? It is important to appreciate the service of every single devotee without exception. Right? The person who's sweeping the floor is not lesser a devotee than the person who's running the temple. Right? The person who's organizing the accounts is not inferior to the person who's going out on book distribution on Sankirtan. There's nothing wrong in thinking that your service is the best service. There's no problem with that. But you do not minimize the service of another person, right? I mean, how many times people have this sentiment, you're just caring for the devotees. Yeah, that's nice, but when are you going to do something, right? Really? It's such a damaging mentality. And of course, it's selfish. Because you notice that whatever's emphasized just happens to be what that particular devotee is into, right? Selfish, right? Culture means that if you respect everyone for what they can contribute, guess what? They will contribute that and more. Hmm? People want to do the right thing, but they want to be inspired to do it. You understand? Living entities want to do the right thing, but they want to be inspired to do it. That's why practically no one wants to be religious. Because unfortunately, even amongst religious people, this hasn't been understood. Therefore, instead of trying to inspire people to do the right thing, people are threatened, they're made to feel guilty, and it doesn't work. It does not work, right? So I think there was one pastime with Srila Prabhupada where some devotees, they were preaching in one area and no one's coming. And they said, Prabhupada, no one is interested. And Prabhupada said, oh, no one is interested or you cannot make them interested? Think about it. So we're standing for the creation of a spiritual culture, right? Our success is intimately related to the success of other people. There are no heroes here, right? Envy can manifest in many ways. One of the ways that envy catches a devotee is that you think that you're God's gift to ISKCON, right? You think you can do it all by yourself. So Krishna tries to give you some hints. No, cooperate, be humble, serve in a cooperative mood, give the credit to the others, give away the credit to others. But if you don't do it at a certain point, Krishna will just disable you. That's all. So again and again, the point is that if the others are not successful, I'm not successful. This is a different way of considering cooperation. Right? In this sense, it's not cooperation something that you have to do or you're a bad person. Cooperation just means that you understand that you won't go anywhere without other people. You will never succeed in Krishna consciousness unless you receive the blessings of others and unless you exalt the other devotees. That's all. Right? No one has done it independently. No one will do it independently. We need each other. It's just the reality. It's not an optional. It's not something you can think about and make a decision about. If they don't succeed, you don't succeed. Right? So we encourage a culture of Krishna consciousness. Everyone is important. Everyone's service is important. Right? The war is not just the people on the battlefront. The war is the people who are cooking for those people on the battlefront. The war is the people who are providing the resources for those people who are fighting on the battlefront. Every single member is connected to the connected to the war effort. And when we learn that, when we understand that we're not the only devotees, when we understand that our conditioning or our nature is not the only conditioning or nature, and when we really appreciate everyone for everything they're doing, then I guarantee you the Krishna consciousness on this planet will go through the roof. Right? In many cases, people will do more on inspiration. As we said before, inspiration is a type of strength, isn't it? When you feel inspired, you go above and beyond the call of duty. And you relish the endeavor, isn't it? It doesn't feel like work, right? You really care for someone. Your gurus ask you to do something. You're inspired. You care. Then that work, that effort, that service is done above and beyond your capacity, and you enjoy it. You feel good, and you feel more excited about giving more next time. More excited about giving more next time, right? So why don't we give that to each other? Because if we give that to each other, guess what comes back to you? So always remember this. This is the war effort. Krishna consciousness is the war effort, right? Selfishness will make us weak, and selflessness will make us extremely strong, powerful, and ultimately even empowered. Okay, and we'll stop there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Janita Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Any questions or comments? Sorry, I'm slightly over time, so maybe a short period for questions or comments.
Hare Krishna. You said that in spiritual world, in relationship, in one kind of relationship, there is mood of enjoyment. How to understand it.
It's a tricky one. Right. It doesn't mean the desire for enjoyment as is done in this material world. But even on the spiritual platform, there are subtleties. So that point, that is the point that's made by the acharyas. But it's not to be considered like mundane enjoyment. It means that even those pure devotees and pure rasas, there's still gradations. In other words, you can be selfless, but you can be more selfless. And then you can be more selfless. It's something akin to how Prabhupada describes the different places in the spiritual world. He says perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Right? So when we say this, we should put it in context. That's still selfless. Those Swakya gopis, they're still pure and selfless, right? But you can then consider that between the Swakya and the Parakya, they're selfless and there's more selfless. Does that make sense? So see it in that light, the different gradations on the pure platform. Is that okay? Okay. Yes, question.
Hare Krishna. I was in Mayapur. One devotee explained on lecture that one of reason that we came here is also like curiosity and explain, like Narada Muni asked Krishna that please show me the Maya, and somehow Krishna show, or King's son, sometimes he have everything, but so there is some curiosity to see something. Mm-hmm. Like this, I don't know, maybe you can.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point. I won't go too much into this. It can be a big topic. But let's put it like this. You see, as opposed to material experience, in the spiritual world, everything increases. Krishna's beauty, as unlimited as it is, it increases, right? The loving nature of the pastimes, they increase because that is the nature of spiritual energy. There's no limitation. So therefore, the living entities on that pure spiritual platform, they have the experience that something is great and it can be even greater, right? And then it can be even greater because they perceive Krishna. He was beautiful. He looked fantastic one day. Then the next day I saw him, he was even more attractive. And then the day after when I saw Krishna, he was even more beautiful, right? So they have that awareness that that can exist, right? Therefore, the living entity can consider that there can be another type of even greater kind of experience somewhere else, right? But when that curiosity is turned towards the material energy, we come here, yeah? So yes, you can understand it in that light also. Because we had this experience that things were always greater, we thought, maybe, what's it like over there? But that wasn't the place to go. That wasn't the place to look. You know, we looked in the wrong direction. And therefore, unfortunately, we come down to this material world. Okay. I don't know more than that. I wouldn't be able to elaborate more than that. But I'm conscious. Who's in charge this morning? Okay. So it's almost 22. What should we do? More questions or should we end? Your choice. Yeah, we can speak. I'm here for breakfast. We can speak then. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Radha London Ishvara ki jai, Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai, Shishi Gaunitaya ki jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Jari? Okay, so they've asked me to read the scores. Radha's Boutique, is that 9?